helpful to each and every one here, Lord, no matter how well they deal with this. Lord, and just pray that this would be a time of learning. Pray that you would remove distractions, Lord, and just help us to focus on your word this morning. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So back in 2014, I was taking a Bible Institute course. Some of you have done that. Some of you remember a lot of us used to do that. Common Ground Baptist Institute over Pastor Crone over in Penfield has a Bible college, if you will, and we were taking correspondence courses, and I was taking one called Biblical Counseling, and the text that we were assigned to read was called Competent to Counsel, An Introduction to Nouthetic Counseling. Now, I'm not going to get into exactly what nouthetic means and all of that. What I'm going to tell you is that in it, the author, his name is Jay Adams, he brings out a lot of really interesting thoughts regarding problems among believers in Jesus Christ. One topic that was discussed in great detail is the topic of anger. Of course, in a counseling course, what you're trying to learn how to do is to help people that are struggling with it. Okay? We likely all struggle with it here and there, at least. Some struggle with it a lot. And about the same time that I was taking that, I was teaching a Sunday school lesson to the young adults class. Some of you may recall we had a young adults class downstairs for a lot of years. And I had made a comment. I believe I was teaching on, I don't even know what I was teaching on, but I had made a comment about being angry that our government makes me pay taxes that they use to support Planned Parenthood, whose main business is abortions. I don't like them using the money that I earn, that I have to give to them for that. And I was angry about that. Well, as often happens, those of you that have taught young folks, you know, as they often do, they throw comments at you sometimes. And what I got was, as soon as I said that, somebody said, well, isn't it a sin to be angry? Now, I believe I answered appropriately, but here's what I said. I said, no, we have even seen Jesus angry a couple times in the scriptures, and he never sinned. But you need to be careful what you do with that anger. Right? Now, that wasn't a complete answer, and while I didn't have time, I was teaching on something completely different at the time. I didn't have time to get into a longer answer in that Sunday school lesson. I decided then to study it out a bit more and put together a lesson on that. Okay, I've only ever taught that lesson one time. It was over 10 years ago in the men's meeting we used to have. Remember that? Some of you remember we used to have that after before the service on Sunday nights. So I don't think, unless you were in my young adults class 14 years ago, I don't think you probably, or 10 years ago, whatever it was, I don't think you probably heard this one from me. Some of you may have that were there. Now, a little over 20 years ago, why do you keep going back? Well, I want you to understand where this comes from. A little over 20 years ago, Pastor Cole wrote an article. I grabbed one on the way in. You may have seen it. It's out here on the rack on the hemlock by the hemlock door. It's called Why Are Men So Angry Today? Okay. In it, Pastor Cole does a really great job of answering that title question using the scriptures, which is the best way to answer any question. I'm going to sum it up for you. I'm also going to encourage you to read it. But let me sum up his points here. And by the way, ladies, you're not off the hook here because this stuff all applies to you as well. Okay. One of the things I've noticed over time is that while it used to be men that were most often the ones that we noticed being angry, I see a lot of ladies, even young girls, angry a lot and expressing it outwardly today. So why is that? Well, these were Pastor Cole's conclusions. I'm not just giving you his points. I'm not preaching that message. Okay. Number one was a lack of spirituality. These are people that are struggling with anger are lacking in the fruit of the Spirit. Number two is a lack of scripture memorization. We're supposed to hide God's word in our hearts, right? So I'll just ask you, don't answer it out loud, but do you know any scriptures on anger? You ever bring those out when you get angry? That's a good practice. Number three was the complexity of life. Are you burdened with the complexity of life? Well, did you know that the Bible describes a simple life for the Christian? Number four is correction, and really his point here was that we have inappropriate, prideful responses to correction, and we get angry. Number five was jealousy and envy. We are to rule our attitudes and emotions, keep our eyes off of others, and have temperance. That is a fruit of the Spirit that is self-control, self-restraint. We're supposed to have that. Number six is self-will. You know, the Bible tells us that we are to give up our own will and do God's will. Number seven is demonic possession and oppression, which is a real thing. And we need to pray for those that are in that condition. Okay. So it's really an excellent article. If you haven't read it, I just picked one up. It's on the top row out here. Okay, grab one on your way by. Even if you don't have an anger problem, it's a good read. I also say, read it, do something with it. I was making the point last week, if you remember, last 2 weeks we studied when God is silent, when he doesn't seem to be answering your prayers. And if you remember, one of the verses I brought out about prayer was, what did God say? If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you, or given you. I can quote the verse exactly, but that's essentially it. Hide God's word in your heart. Do something with God's word. So Pastor Cole's conclusion at the end of the book, he says this, it's just a simple sentence, but it's a good one. It's not becoming of a Christian to be angry. Let us take what we have learned and apply it all the way to victory. It's a good conclusion. And as good as that article is, it's not an exhaustive study of what the Bible says about anger. Neither is this lesson, but it's hopefully going to help everyone here with a little more understanding of anger. I said, we just read Psalm 92:5, O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. Now, if I had asked, I didn't do this, but if I had asked any of you walking in here, said, do you know what anger is? Do you know how to deal with it? You'd say, yeah, sure. Yeah, of course. Well, could you answer that question? Isn't it a sin to be angry? Some of you laughed at me when, as the students were doing when that got asked, right? So what I want to do this morning is come at the subject of anger in a little different angle than that book does. And I want to study the answer to the question that I was asked in Sunday school those years ago, isn't it a sin to be angry? Now, as I told you off the cuff that day in Sunday school, I said, well, no. We even see Jesus angry a couple times in the scriptures, and he never sinned. But after some additional study, I came to the conclusion that really the correct answer to that question, isn't it a sin to be angry, is yes, it is sometimes. No, other times. It depends. And some of you are sitting there thinking, well, that's a non-answer. That's an evasive answer. Well, it's not really. It's the truth. It's accurate. If I asked you, how long is a piece of string? Go ahead, answer that. All right? What if I asked you a different question? How long will it take me to get to Dallas, Texas from here? Are you walking? Are you flying? Are you driving? What are you doing? Right? The correct answer to either of those, how long is a piece of string, or how long will it take me to get to Dallas, Texas from here, is it depends. Your question does not provide enough information. Just like the question, isn't it a sin to be angry? Okay, it's not cut and dried like we like everything to be. I mean, it is, but it's a little more complicated than, you know, a simple one-sentence answer. So let me share some verses with you to demonstrate this. Turn to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29 and verse 22. Proverbs 29 and verse 22 says, "An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression." Isn't it a sin to be angry? Kind of sounds like it there, doesn't it? Because a furious, what's a furious man? An extremely angry man. It sounds like it says there that he aboundeth in transgression. Well, that's not good. So it sounds like it's a sin. Probably need a little more study. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Ephesians 4, 26, the first part of it says, "Be ye angry and sin not." Well, that kind of sounds like I can be angry and not sin, doesn't it? I mean, the rest of the verse says, "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." That doesn't really tell me if it's a sin or not. But the first part makes me think that maybe it's not. Well, how would you answer the question now? You see, people are confused. I'm not trying to confuse you. I'm just trying to demonstrate that, look, something you think you understand, and anger is just one subject, something you think you understand, you better know what the Bible says. Study the Bible. If you don't know, study. I was asked a question in a Sunday school class that I had an answer to, but then I started thinking about it, going, you know, I'm not sure about that. Some of you were pretty sure when I told you that story about Sunday school that it was a sin to be angry, weren't you? Because you were laughing at me. Maybe you're just laughing at the fact that the young people love to ask questions like that. That's true. So turn to Mark 3. Mark 3 and verse 5. Mark 3 and verse 5. This is the story of a man with a withered hand that was in the synagogue, and Jesus healing that withered hand of his. But what was really going on here was that the people in the synagogue were watching Jesus to see if he would heal this guy on the Sabbath. Why? So they could accuse him of breaking the Sabbath and, you know, proving that he's not who he says he is, right? But Mark 3 and verse 5, it says, "And he," that's Jesus, "had looked round about on them with anger." Hey, Jesus was angry. Notice what he's doing. He's just looking around at them with anger. "Being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it out. And his hand was restored whole as the other." So he went, even though he was angry, he went about healing this man's hand. So no, I'm not trying to confuse you. I'm not trying to trick you. I'm trying to demonstrate that we need to study the whole counsel of God so that we can try and understand the very deep thoughts of God. It's not as simple as we like it to be all the time. So when it comes to understanding this thing that we call anger, and many other things in your life, many things, we need discernment, we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and we need to study the Scriptures. So that's what we're doing today. Certainly there's all sorts of problems that arise in the Christian life, which may lead to feelings of anger. Anyone in here want to say that they've never been angry? Doubt it. Yeah, I could make it hard. I'm not going to do it. I was just going to ask you, who's been angry this week, this last week? Listen, the body of Christ is made up, you and I, our church family here, we're made up of sinful people, right? We have sinful members. One sinner's action or inaction, depending on what the situation is, can easily make others angry. Right? It doesn't need to happen, but it often does. But when it does, the problems can be solved. Anger doesn't need to persist so that it drives rifts between believers or enlarges old ones. So, there I spent, 15 minutes on an introduction. I have 5 points. 5 points. Yeah, that wasn't nothing. 5 points that I'm going to talk to you about anger today. This was, again, not exhaustive. It's just some of my study because I was asked that question however many years, 10 years ago, whatever it was. Okay? So turn to Psalm 7. Psalm 7 in verse number 11. What we're going to see here is, number one, God is angry every day. Psalm 7 and verse number 11 says, God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Well, we are, Pastor uses this word, I'll explain it, I guess. We are a triumvirate. We are made up of three in one, okay? That's what that means. We have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit, just like God. We're made in his image. Our spirit, like God's, causes us to experience emotions, including anger. Now, the Bible says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. The fact that you have emotions is good. You were made that way. Okay? Anger is just one of those. All right? But turn to Lamentations 3. I want to show you something that's very specifically different about God versus us. What I'm doing here is saying to anybody that's thinking, well, I'm made in God's image, I'm supposed to have emotion, so it's okay if I'm angry. Well, we're not there yet because you're not God. Lamentations 3, verse 22 and 23 says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Do your compassions fail? Yeah. They do. Verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Is your compassion new every morning? Mine's not. Should be. It's not. I'm not sure how often it renews, but not every day. It's not a good thing. But that's one of the things that makes us very different from God. God is angry every day. Maybe you are too. But his compassions fail not. Number two, anger, you got to be careful about this, because this is one of the things that is a problem in our, I believe, in our culture, well, in the world, everywhere, but this is specifically, applies to the English-speaking world, if you will. We have really dumbed down the English language, okay? We confuse the meanings of words all the time. Happens a lot. Anger is not an action. It's an emotion. And they're different. Okay? So I'm gonna try and demonstrate this. It's not a perfect illustration. Sometimes we say love is action. Don't we? Right? And I agree with that thought. It's portrayed in Scripture. It's biblical concept. But I think we could say it a little more accurately. We love these little trite phrases. Love is action, right? Okay, yeah, okay. I get the idea. But if I said this, we express love through action. All right, that's a little better, I think. You can disagree with that if you like. Okay, so love is an emotion. It is also that, right? You can't really argue that. We use that word every day, right? I love this, I love that. Right? It's an emotion you feel towards somebody or something, maybe towards God. And what we do is we express it through our actions. Okay, and what I'm making the point here is that anger is not an action. Anger is an emotion. In John 14 and verse 15, Jesus says, you'll know this verse maybe, if ye love me, Anybody know? Keep my commandments. If you love me, you're supposed to do something. So you're supposed to express the love that you have for Jesus through an action. Okay? Keep my commandments, he says. Turn to 1 John 3. 1 John 3 and verse 18. Sorry, there's a lot of scripture today, but that's a good thing. There should be. Because this was a study to figure out, is anger, isn't it a sin to be angry? I shouldn't use my own thoughts as much as what the Bible has to say, right? 1 John 3 and verse number 18 says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." So there's some instruction from the Bible about how you're supposed to express love. Not in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Okay? If you have love, don't just say it, show it with your deeds. Show it with what you do. So number one, God is angry every day. Number two, anger is not an action, it is an emotion. And anger is also an emotion, or anger, like love, is also an emotion. We feel the emotion, but where it becomes problematic for us is how we express it, what we do with it, how we show it with our deeds. Feelings or emotions should not rule or control a person's life. Some of you, a couple, I think, have been over at Countryside at the financial peace thing I'm teaching the last couple weeks over there on Thursday nights. Some of you have been through it before, so you've heard me do it here, so you've heard this before. But I was teaching just this last week, just Thursday, about how we're not supposed to allow our emotions, our lusts, our own human spirit to control us. There, I was teaching about people that have problems with impulse buying, right? People that can't control, they just want this, so they spend money on it. Spending a lot of money on things that they don't need. That's what I was teaching there, but this is the same idea. When it comes to anger, it's an emotion, and you can't let it rule or control you. Proverbs 16:32 says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." Anger can be expressed with words and actions. Here is where, if you're not very careful, if we're not temperate, if we're not self-controlled, we get into anger becoming sinful. At least one place. Anger, it's not wrong to feel anger sometimes. But then what you then do with it, you can turn it into a sin by reacting, doing things, saying things, doing things incorrectly. Okay? So anger is not an action, it's an emotion. Anger, number three, is not resentment. They are different. We already looked at Mark 3 in verse number 5. I'll just remind you what it says. "And when he," Jesus, "had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other." So we're told first in that verse that Christ was angry. Though he was stirred emotionally about the issue being that people were waiting to see if he would heal this guy's hand. This is what they're worried about. They're not worried about the guy and his hand. They're worried about whether he's going to heal him so we can jump on him. Aha! See? That's the issue, okay? That's what he was emotionally stirred about. People, the hardness of people's hearts. But Christ did not allow his anger to turn into resentment. He didn't resent those people. What does it say he did? He looked upon them with anger, and then went about his business and healed the guy's hand. And if you read further on in that story, he leaves. He just goes. He doesn't say anything negative. He doesn't do anything to get back at these people, right? Make them pay. You know that feeling. He didn't do that. So Jesus there was angry, but sin not. See, it's possible. We also looked at Psalm 7:11. I'll remind you what that said. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. God does not hold resentment against the wicked. Why? For God so loved the world, right? We know this. You have to know what the Bible says. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't resent, well, you sinners over there, he didn't die for you. You can just perish. He didn't do that. He didn't resent them, but he's angry. Number four, anger, turns out, can be either righteous or sinful. So let me, rather than getting into going to a bunch of verses and going through a story that you know, I'm just going to say I can sum up righteous anger. There's a great example of it in David. David, remember when he volunteered, he was going to be the one to go fight Goliath. What did he say when he did that? Is there not a cause? Right? What was he angry about? Well, Goliath had been blaspheming God, right? So when you're angry, ask these questions. Has God been blasphemed? Have his precepts, the ideas that he expresses in his word, have they been ignored or violated? Have his commandments been broken? You see, if you're angry about things like that, that's just righteous anger. Now be careful what you do with it, right? So I'm getting to remember the question I was asked. Isn't it a sin to be angry? The thing I was angry about was that my government is taking money that I earn and using it to pay for abortions. So I would classify that anger that I have as righteous. Why? Precepts of God have been ignored and violated there. So I think I'm okay with that one. It's not like I haven't violated this, okay? So let me give you an illustration. So here's a situation. A father allows his teenage son to borrow the family car one Saturday afternoon so that he can go play hockey with his friends. Sure, son, you can borrow the car, but you have to be home by 5 p.m. because I need to pick up your uncle at the airport at 6. That sounds strangely specific, doesn't it, Kyle? I don't know if you remember this. It maybe didn't happen exactly this way, but it's a good illustration. See, 10 years ago, Kyle was 18, 17, 18, something like that. Well, look, we all did things as teenagers that we just weren't thinking. So what said? The father said, well, look, you can borrow the car, but you have to be back because I need to use the car to go to the airport and get your uncle. Well, 5 o'clock comes and goes, and 5:15, and 5:30, and 5:45, and no sign of the son with the car. Finally, at 6 p.m., the son pulls in and says, oh, sorry, I had to give all my friends a ride home. Now, the other thing that you don't know is one particular father has a rule that nobody rides in your car with you, as a teenager, nobody rides in your car with you unless you have my permission and the other person's parents' permission. They'll all verify that. That was the case, okay, when they were younger. So let me ask you a question. Is the father angry? Yeah. justifiably so? Is there not a cause? All right, ask yourself the questions. Has the father sinned? Not yet, assuming he's not thinking horrible thoughts about what he's going to do to his son. But what he does next, how he expresses his anger, can be sinful or not. Okay? So does the son need to be corrected? Is there a biblical basis for that? Yep. Is there a way to correct that son that's biblical? knocking him down and kicking him in the head isn't one of those. Didn't happen. Didn't happen. Okay. So you don't need to apologize for feeling angry when it's a matter of disciplinary code that's been broken. All right? It is the outward expression of that anger that will be sinful or not. Listen, discipline your children biblically and appropriately for their age. Do that. But sinful anger is unrighteous anger. Okay? And it most often comes as a result of your pride and my pride. That's what gets us. So you need to be able to make that distinction, and you need to be able to do it in the moment. It's hard. Are you angry because your feelings got hurt? Right? Well, of course, you know, your feelings are more important than most other things. That's sarcasm. You can laugh. It's okay. I have some sarcasm for you. I like it because it's a good teaching tool, actually. Now, did somebody do something in a different way than you thought it should be done? And you even told them. Okay, well, of course, you always know better, right? It's always the case. Sure. This is one that used to get me. Did your flight get delayed? Yeah, I hate this airline. Right? What am I doing as I'm walking up and down around their other customers? I hate this airline. They do this to me all the time. Okay. Well, of course, right? It's their plan to get you. Safety is hardly ever a concern for an airline. So it doesn't matter that the plane is broken. We should go anyways, right? Did your spouse fail to have dinner ready when you got home from work? Do you know how many times I've told her I want dinner ready when I get there? It's not like she's doing anything all day long, and those kids take care of themselves, right? They're old enough. Are you seeing the pride? The pride. But aren't these the dumb things that we get angry about? We let get us. Did your boss tell you that you couldn't have Saturday off? Again. Well, you know, he sensed that you had a tea time over at Eden Valley Golf Club on Saturday, and he needs to make sure that you don't have any fun. That's what he's doing. It has absolutely nothing to do with making sure that the company succeeds and that you have a job next week. It's not that. Okay? Can you see how pride just gets us? It's almost always that. But if you learn to ask yourself those questions, look, is it righteous anger? Has God been blasphemed? Is there not a cause? Right? Number five, and I have to move along here, I can't dwell on that one. Anger can be dealt with biblically. Okay, let's go through some scriptures again. Proverbs 22 in verse 24 and 25. Proverbs 22, 24 and 25 say, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." Well, what's something you can do about anger? The answer based on this is, well, I cannot be friends with angry people because it's going to rub off on you is what that says. If you hang around angry people, you're going to become an angry person. You're going to react like they do to things. It's not my opinion. It's what the Bible says. Okay? Proverbs 14 in verse 29 says, "He that is slow to wrath," which is just great exceeding anger, "is of great understanding. But he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly." You know what folly is, right? It's foolish actions. And who's doing the foolish actions? Well, read it again slowly. "He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly." Don't allow yourself to get angry easily. Rule your own spirit. I was just talking about that. Rule your spirit. The Bible says you can. God wouldn't tell you to rule your own spirit if you couldn't, right? What's the verse? I can't quote it exactly. He cannot rule his own spirit is like a city that's broken down without walls. You have no defenses, right? Being hasty, well, back up. Always make sure that you search out a matter, giving the benefit of the doubt in the situation. Don't always, one of the things I see is it's often just a misunderstanding. Somebody's angry over something this guy over here did, and it's just, you just didn't understand what happened there. Okay, don't be hasty. Search out a matter. Give the benefit of the doubt to the person, especially in our church family, right? This is how we to treat each other. Because being hasty or quick to anger is folly. It's foolish. So don't. Proverbs 29 in verse number 11. Proverbs 29, verse number 11. The poor and the deceitful man meet together. Oops, sorry, that's the wrong one. 11. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Now, here's one that doesn't mention anger there, but this is a great way to live all the time, when you're angry and when you're not. But we're talking about anger today, so I'm going to just suggest that when you're angry, keep your mouth shut. Best thing to do is to just walk away for a minute until you cool off if you're angry. Plan your response carefully, and your motivation isn't to get them. Nope. your motivation is to restore fellowship and to minister grace to the hearer. The Bible tells you to do that, you know. So when you're angry, keep your mouth shut. Wait till you cool off. Plan your response carefully, being sure that you speak so that you minister grace to the hearer. That is hard to do when you're angry. So give it a minute. As we disciplined our children for all those years, I'll tell you, it's very effective, by the way. For those of you that have younger children, one of the most effective parts of discipline isn't the spanking. It's the pieces on either end. It's go to your room, you're going to get a spanking, I'll be there in a few minutes. It's that 5 or 10 minutes that I'm over here trying to cool off so I don't beat my kid silly that is having an effect on them. It's also what I always did was give them that time to sit in their room and worry about what they've done. Think about that. They know dad's angry. I'm over here trying to cool off so I don't do something dumb. They would get their spanking, but one of the things I always did is explain to them what they did wrong, spank them, and then pray with them. So ask God to make sure that, you know, little Johnny or little Kyle over there knows that this is wrong and that he shouldn't do this. You know, you do that. It's those things on either end. The spanking is certainly part of it. But I'll tell you what, that time, if you watch kids and parents that treat their kids this way, it's that time sitting by themselves knowing what's coming that gets them. That when they really sit and think about it. Keep your mouth shut, cool off, plan your response carefully, make sure you speak in a way that ministers grace to the hearer. Oop, I'm going to be over time here real quick. Ephesians 4:26, we already read, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. What's another thing you do with anger? Well, Paul tells us here that there's a way of handling it and that it needs to be dealt with daily, every day. Okay, don't let anger fester, it's going to become resentment. It's not resentment. But if you let it hang around, it becomes that. And then you got another problem. Using the instruction of God's word, address your anger with someone else the same day that it becomes a problem. Just don't let it hang out there. Being angry doesn't excuse you from your obligation to obey God's command. That's how we treat it. Well, I'm angry. Here's the pride. Right. Nope. We are supposed to obey God's commands. In the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 5:44, I'll read this to you. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Is that what you do? Again, it's not easy, but God tells us to do these things. So I've only got a minute left here, or I'm way over. So the original question was, isn't it a sin to be angry? The answer is, yeah, sometimes. Are you angry because of your pride? That's a sin. No, other times. Is there not a cause? Has God been blasphemed? Have his precepts been violated? Or have his commands been broken? It depends. It's just the wrong question. It's not a bad question. I don't fault the person that asked the question that day. But after some study, we can really now ask the right question. And the right question is, does the Bible tell me how to deal with my anger? And the answer to that is yes, every time. So, I'm sorry I don't have time to expound on that. Let's pray and I'll be done. Father, I just pray that this would be a help, Lord, to each and every one. Help us with, Lord, our iniquities, Lord, the times that we get angry unrighteously. Lord, help us to actually have righteous anger, Lord, about the things that... Lord, violate or blaspheme you or violate your precepts or the word of God. Father, I pray that you would help us all to be better Christians, Lord, treating each other properly when we are angry. Lord, and we just pray now that you would bless the rest of the day. Pray for the morning service. Pray that you would use Pastor Cole to speak to us yet again from your word. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' holy name. Amen.